This is Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kern. At the beginning of this month, several public university presidents signed on to a letter requesting Governor Rauner and Democratic legislative leaders bring an end to the standstill that's left Illinois government without a 2016 budget. The fiscal year is now more than 100 days old, and no agreement is in sight. One of those presidents who signed that letter is Larry Dietz of Illinois State University. Each month, President Dietz joins us during Sound Ideas, and he's here today. Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure. Good to be with you again.
Do you have a question for ISU President Larry Dietz? Are you concerned about the lack of a state budget and its impact on ISU and higher education? Call 309-438-8910 and speak with President Larry Dietz. Among other things, the letter university presidents sent to the governor and the General Assembly said the budget impasse, quote, casts a shadow of uncertainty over the campuses that is unsustainable. It went on to say the uncertainty of not knowing when or at what level appropriations will be forthcoming is resulting in some students and faculty questioning whether Illinois is the best place to learn or to teach. Now, we are on the brink of serious operational damage. Midterm exams are not far off, and so too are decisions that must be made about staffing, academic offerings, and student services for the spring semester. Specifically at ISU, what spring semester questions are left most outstanding by this situation?
Well, as you know, we're in the fourth month without a budget, and this is really unprecedented terrain that we're in. I think the worst part of all of this is the uncertainty. We've been asked to put together plans for budget cuts all the way back to about this time last year, and we've done that. So we have plans that are scalable. We certainly hope it's any cuts will be on the lower end of the spectrum versus the 31.5% that was in the governor's proposal. But nevertheless, whatever it is, we just simply need to know where we're headed so we can apply the plans that we have in place. I think the most frustrating thing is the uncertainty.
No one I know remembers a budget impasse lasting this long into the fiscal year. Now, the governor is the only player who is really different in this game. So do you blame the governor for this?
You know, I don't really blame anyone. I understand that there are different perspectives on the financial circumstances that face the state of Illinois and different ideas about that. It's our job really to serve students, to teach the students that have come to us in good faith. It's our job to put faculty in the classroom to help do that, to put staff in service positions to allow us to do our jobs. And we simply feel like that we're doing our job. Illinois State was in eight national rankings last year in terms of academic quality, service offerings. All of them were about quality and positive attributes of the university. And so we want to continue those positive attributes of the university, but we simply need the state to do its part now and give us a budget, and we'll say thank you, whatever that amount is, and we'll apply our planning processes and we'll march on down the road. But we need to march on down the road.
I want to get back to the overall budget in just a moment. I'm Willis Kern, and this is Sound Ideas. Do you have a question about the state budget and its impact on Illinois State? Call and speak with ISU President Larry Dietz at 309-438-8910. The Monetary Award Program, or MAP, is the process that allows many low-income students to attend college. Typically, state funding covers the cost of tuition for these students. About 4,000 students are MAP users at ISU. Here's what you said at the beginning of the school year in August as you promised to credit those classes to the accounts of the MAP students.
We're optimistic that funding will come through for that, and so we think it's the right thing to do to try to cover that investment internally until we can be reimbursed for that.
Do you remain optimistic that MAP funding is on the way?
Well, I'm by nature an optimistic guy, so I think at some point in time the state's going to figure out how to fix the budget scenario and to give us a budget. Hopefully the MAP issue will be resolved sooner versus later because it impacts our very neediest students the most. And so my concern, I guess, is that we address MAP, but we also not forget that we still don't have a budget, even if we were to get approval for MAP funding. Our stance right now at Illinois State would be for the spring semester is to not block registrations from students who are MAP funds, but to go ahead and enable them to register and enroll, and we'll do the same thing that we were doing essentially in the fall, which is basically allow them to continue, and then when the MAP funding comes through, we will go back and credit those accounts.
And the cost is about $15 million or so for the students to attend Illinois State University to receive MAP funding. That's the cost to ISU and to the state.
And we have about 4,300 students that receive MAP, and the total ticket for the academic year is about $15 million, about $7.5 million per semester.
What are the options if there is no state budget into January, which now seems more and more possible? What happens in January when there's no state budget and no MAP funding to go with it?
Well, we'll continue to carry that that red ink, and we have budgeted wisely and conservatively, and we're going to be able to do that. Some other institutions in the state, however, have decided that they don't have the wherewithal, financial wherewithal, to do that. The community colleges, as a group, I know many of them have decided that they're going to be putting hard holes on students for the spring semester unless the MAP money comes through, that some of those people may not be allowed to come back. Most of the public universities, because our students have different needs and they have made different kinds of decisions. For a public university, those students have moved downstate, upstate, across the state, and are making a commitment that is well beyond a day or a month or a semester. They're making an academic year commitment and disrupting where they live and so forth to be here. So we really, as public universities, feel like we have an ethical obligation to continue to provide service. We hope that the state will value our partnership and make a positive decision on this well before January.
Are you a student who receives MAP grants to attend ISU, or do you know somebody concerned about the budget impasse? President Larry Dietz is here, and he takes your calls right now at 309-438-8910. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kern. Following the State of the University address last week, you spoke with the media and said you were still hopeful for that the budget cut for ISU would not be the 31.5% that Governor Rauner proposed last winter. Yet this is one of the scenarios the university has been planning for. What are the elements of this scenario?
Well, we could spend every waking hour of every day doing different budget simulations. We have done those at various times with various levels, and until the state makes up its mind what the cut is really going to be, we think it's we've got good plans in place. They're generic kinds of plans and they're global plans, but we would be able to accommodate whatever comes our way on this. We are very optimistic that it's not going to be at that 31.5% range. But again, the uncertainty to us is the biggest concern, because right now is when students and their parents are making decisions about where they're going to be attending for next fall. So it's not only about the issue for FY16 for the current students that are enrolled, but other students that are attending college fairs across the state. They're making decisions now, so we really need a budget now to signal that we have some stability.
I'm curious about your optimism for the not 31.5%. You already said you're an optimistic guy, but right now it's 100%. You have no budget. So what makes you think that it might not wind up being 31.5%?
Well, we've had a history in Illinois, albeit the percentage, each year has gone down some from the state, and that this year, for example, or last year, I should say, only a little less than 18% of our total budget came from the state. I don't think that the history is such that they won't provide anything to the public institutions in the state of Illinois, either through MAP grant or the overall budget. I do know though, and I'm not, it's not a panacea, and I'm not trying to be Pollyannish about this, but I do know that every day that goes by that we don't have a budget, there's about 90% of the overall budgets that's already committed to organizations that either have court orders that is forcing the state to do something for them. We're one of few organizations that don't have that kind of protection. So
could the university presidents bind together and sue the governor and the legislature?
That's not something that we entertain very seriously. It's not a great way to make friends in the legislature.
Could be a good way to get money, though.
Or in the governor's office. So we're hopeful that that won't continue or that won't happen. I do know that some of the institutions are looking into this as a possibility, though, that we don't think it's a high probability.
The budget is, we talked about the 31.5% scenario, and it may or may not get to that. That remains to be seen. But at some universities, they're already starting to lay off people. And I know that Illinois State University has seen some holds on some positions where I think most of the vacancies are occurring at slots on campus. But what is the possibility of human capital if we creep up close to the 31.5% at ISU?
Well, the 31.5% would be devastating. The situation that we have right now is that we have really gone about this, we think, in the most humane way possible, and that is to simply not fill positions that we've had attrition, either through retirements or people taking other positions in other places. And we have 76 positions right now that have remained unfilled. We also continue to provide high-level scrutiny on all positions, but 76 remain vacant. I think that number will continue to grow, but we have been able at this point to avoid layoffs and furloughs and trying to keep the quality that we have.
ISU President Larry Dietz is the guest here during Sound Ideas on GLT. You can join this conversation with your phone call at 309-438-8910. I'm Willis Kern. Just days after the governor received this letter from university presidents, you hosted him at a football tailgate party and a home football game. Some public social media comments criticized the governor for taking time to do this in light of the budget situation. And even there were some people who remarked that ISU was at blame for having him here on campus. Was this the right thing to do in light of the seriousness of having no budget?
Well, we're a public university, and I think it's incumbent upon us to host elected officials regardless of what party they happen to represent and regardless of the position that they hold with within the state government. And so we were delighted to have the governor here. We had a number of other elected officials here that day. As a matter of fact, we have Representative Brady's daughter. It was family weekend. Representative Brady's daughter goes here. Representative Sandak's daughter goes here. Congressman Rodney Davis's daughter goes here. And so all three of those elected officials were here as well. And so it was really about the spirit of family weekend that those three individuals attended. And any other elected official that wants to come and see the quality that exists at the university, we're always delighted to have them.
You spoke privately with the governor. Was there anything in that conversation that either A, gives you hope, or B, causes you peril at all?
You know, a football game is not really the time to do a lot.
You were dissecting the punts and the passes.
That's right. It's not a great time to do a lot of business. But I think that the alums came up, and he was interacting quite a bit with alums and other public individuals. And so I think that he understood that we needed a budget, and other people made those points pretty dramatically. Matter of fact, next week, on October the 20th is going to be a student lobby day in Springfield, and so a lot of the students are going to be going down for that, as well as a number of the public universities presidents that will be going down to that. And then on the 22nd, the presidents of the public universities and of the community colleges are slated to meet with the governor in different settings, and we hope to deliver that message to really both sides of the aisle and to legislative leaders as well as the governor.
Also last week, during the State of the University address, you announced the appointment of Greg Ault as the new Vice President for Finance and Planning. He's been filling that role as an interim for more than a year now. His appointment has an end date of December 2017. Now, how typical is this in the hiring practice at ISU that you do that with an employee, typically a cabinet-level employee?
Well, it really didn't. It really didn't set a precedent. We've had individuals at high levels, including a former president and a former vice president, who were appointed under these kind of terms. And I also consulted with all of our shared governance participants, and they thought it was a good idea. We were in very uncertain budget times, as that we've been talking about. Greg has a very strong background on the budget side of the House, and I think that giving him a 2-year appointment is appropriate at this time in our situation with the state, and he's doing a great job, and I know we'll continue to do so.
ISU conducted national searches to fill the positions of provost and vice president for university advancement, which oversees fundraising at ISU. There's a search in progress now for your successor as vice president for student affairs, although an interim Brett Patterson has been in place for a while. How do you decide whether to have a national search or whether to appoint an internal successor, such as you did with finance and planning?
Yeah, well, typically, these are all national searches. As a matter of fact, the finance and planning position will be a national search in 17. We just simply need some consistency to get over a very bumpy financial time at the university, but that will be a national search in 17 as well.
If you have a very strong internal candidate, why spend the money on a national search? And how much does a national search cost? Is it thousands of dollars?
Well, it really kind of depends on the position. And it also depends on the shared governance process. I rely on that, and that really, in these kind of high-level positions, generally does call for national searches. We have a strong group of candidates internally. They've been doing great jobs, and so, as a matter of fact, as you mentioned, two of those in national searches have ended up being the individuals that our shared governance group said they should be in the positions on a permanent basis that they're in. So we have really good people internally. But having said that, unless you do a national search, you don't know who all else is out there that might also be doing a great job. So each of these get called basically on their own merits. But overall, I'd say we do national searches. There is a cost to that to bring candidates in, and but we think that cost is we want to make sure we've got the best person at a particular time. And the only way to do that, in my estimation, is to open the process up, and that's usually what we do.
Civic engagement has become a thing at ISU. You've established a Center for Civic Engagement, and its interim director is Jan Peterson, who examined best practices at other universities. She'll be conducting a thorough review as to what should be included in this center. But what is your vision for this Civic Engagement Center?
Well, civic engagement is one of the five values of the university, and as such, we've been doing civic engagement kinds of education for a long period of time. I felt it was an appropriate time to move all the activity that we've been doing under a larger umbrella of a center, not to control necessarily, but to coordinate activities across the campus with faculty and staff. Jan Patterson, that you mentioned, she has been involved with this for quite a long period of time. She's the former dean of students and has a particular expertise in this area of civic engagement. So it's going to take a while to get the center together. We want to make sure we're following best practices, and we have a number of subject matter experts that are going to come in and help Jan in putting together the infrastructure for this.
ISU President Larry Dietz is a regular guest during the show. Thanks for stopping by.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
I'm Willis Kern, and this is Sound Ideas on GLT.